Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
There are several things that I hadn't thought of before until Nancy asked me two or three questions. And one threw me completely, which was about how my parents treated me and what impact that may have had on the way I brought up my kids. And that is something I hadn't really thought of. So there was some thought here that I was not anticipating, but I'm glad it happened.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy, and Sally Doyle is today's sponsor. You can schedule a profit analysis with Sally for only $99. Take charge of your money life in a different way. She's the founder of Absolute Business Solutions. She's a profit strategist along with being a bookkeeper, and she's also an innovative thinker. So she has a unique take on entrepreneurs' financial life. And she's known as trustworthy and loves crunching the numbers for small business owners and entrepreneurs. So you can sleep soundly knowing every dollar in your business is 100% accounted for. You're freed up to do the work you're good at and keep leading. So give Sally Doyle a call, 1-651-208-8151. You've got two resources now that you can utilize, both money-oriented and the other is your individual transition that you can take advantage of for your next steps. And today in the studio, we have Dr. Elvin Berger. He believes the future of health and longevity is to reduce inflammation within the body through oral and topical means. He diligently examines diets and topical solutions while combining cutting-edge science with ancient wisdom to combat the growing inflammation epidemic, which represents the root cause of most diseases. Dr. Berger knows what he's talking about. He's over 30 years of research experience in nutritional and pharmaceutical sciences and is an eminent lipid nutritionist and biochemist. He is a world-renowned published expert in the field of fatty acids and cellular, molecular, and whole-body metabolism. He's got a lot to say about fat and inflammation. Elvin's global research and interest in inflammation led him to discover ancient sources of very particular conifer seed extracts to combat our chronic inflammation epidemic that we're experiencing. These seeds, considered ancient wisdom, date back to the diets of indigenous populations and even the diets of dinosaurs, and are no longer incorporated to any great extent into our Western diets. Dr. Berger's discovery of sciadonic acid, a type of delta-5 fatty acid, has a unique mechanism of action in being incorporated into specific and unique phospholipid pools, where it displaces pro-inflammatory arachidonic acid and rapidly reduces levels of known pro-inflammatory mediators. So it thus acts to curb inflammation earlier in the inflammation cascade. So as you can hear, it's easy to get very, very deep into the science and it gets complicated quickly. But that's why Dr. Elvin is here. He's Dr. Berger. I call him Elvin. He's developed a company, Sciadonics Incorporated, and he's produced a product that's called Sciadonic Acid Delta 5. He has studied with his colleagues in over 22 studies on inflammation to date. It's a proven anti-inflammatory benefits. So the product is a proven anti-inflammatory topical product that is one of the most revolutionary skincare treatments in the marketplace. And in our first conversation, you might have heard of his early beginnings of interest in fish and growing up near the ocean in New York.
Long Island.
There we go. Difference. Very right. Big difference. So welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So your fish story and your early beginnings, if you reflect on your life, you've done so many different things. You've lived in several different countries, Switzerland and Vancouver area, Toronto. You've been in South Carolina. You're back to Minnesota. Were there some other places you've been in between?
I also worked on fish farms in Israel.
Okay. Fish farms in Israel.
Yeah.
What did you find out there?
Well, I had a project called tilapia sex reversal. what that's about is in the aquaculture fish farming industry.
Yeah.
If you get too many females.
Okay.
Not so good.
Yeah.
Make too many babies.
Right.
Overpopulate the ponds.
I see.
So you start adding some androgen into the feed or okay. even into the water, and it converts them into functional males.
Wow.
Sex reversal, it's called.
Oh my God. Wow. So is that harmful at all to the fish?
No.
It just is. They.
Yeah, they're okay with it.
With the transformation, I guess we'll never know. But starts with the animals, huh? So you have been working really on developing many different expertise areas in your life. So not only going the science route to do all this research, but then realizing that there's an opportunity in the marketplace for you to develop some products that could really help people address their skin issues and really inflammation in general.
That's correct.
Okay. Yes. So you've started two companies, but I would like to focus this conversation on Skiadonics Incorporated. You got some partners together and they're from Norway?
Correct.
Okay. And there are three other partners or four?
Well, they work as a group. Whereas I'm an individual owner, they have their own corporate entity.
Okay.
Let me explain a little bit about that. First of all, if you're going to have an international business, you have to be set up as a C corp.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can't bring in the international investor dollars. So even though you're small, you can't go the LLC or even S corp route. So you're a C corp.
Wow! Right away.
You're a C corp right away, and you have to work with a lawyer that has that skill set to know how to set that up with your foreign partners. And the next complexity is U.S. investors are typically reluctant to invest in foreign companies, and foreign companies are typically reluctant to invest in U.S. companies.
Is it across the board, or is it just like certain countries that are a little bit more of red flags?
It may be. It certainly may be. But I was just speaking in a general sense. Like when you start speaking to investors, they talk about investors like the story to be what they call plain Jane.
Yeah.
They don't want to know about complexities and multiple countries. So you have to kind of, to the extent you can keep it a simple story from an investment point of view.
Yeah.
So we're a U.S. entity. We have U.S. investors. And on the Norwegian side, it's easier to have this culture, this corporate culture where they have a Norwegian entity and Norwegian investors invest in the Norwegian entity.
Oh, I see.
And then that Norwegian entity in turn invests in the U.S. entity.
Okay.
A little bit more complicated structure.
Yeah. But it seems to be working for you.
Yeah.
Great. And then why did you decide to go out of the country for your manufacturing of your product?
Let me first say about Norway. Norway was because I was a chief scientific officer for a Norwegian company for 2 years. So I met some Norwegian entrepreneurs and investors when I was there. So that's the Norway part.
Okay.
And in terms of manufacturing, let me first just broaden that a little bit. When you have a complex business like this and you're starting out and you don't have the resources to have your own manufacturing, your own regulatory, your own patent department, the model that I recommend is one of outsourcing.
Yeah.
And only when it makes business sense, financial sense, would you start bringing on your own workforce to accomplish those goals. So this is an outsourced model. In other words, the manufacturing is outsourced, the patent is outsourced, the regulatory is outsourced. It's all part of an outsourced business model.
So how do you control then the quality of the product?
Well, the key is to work with reputable companies, in my case, companies that I've worked with for many years. And then I'm also old school in how I choose to work with people. I'm going back to, shocker, phone calls. I want to speak to people.
They always work well.
And then I make site visits.
Okay, yeah.
And I revert back. A lot of my industrial training, working for large corporations, I've carried some of those skills I've developed and honed over many years, even to a small business. So as an example of that, for everything I do, I try to get 3 bids.
Oh.
And then I sometimes I'll have more than 3, but I'll get it down to 3. And then if it's important, I might make 3 separate site visits before I'll make a final decision. What you quickly realize is only by actually, you have to make sure you can get along in a business sense.
Yeah.
And also on a personal level with your business partners in this outsource business model. So someone may be fantastic, but maybe you're going to butt heads. You just won't be able to work together. So by actually taking the time to meet people, you can eliminate some of that risk.
Yeah. That's how you minimize the risk.
Minimize the risk. Yeah.
Yeah. So you could take the calculated steps you needed to find the right source. So far, so good?
Yeah. So we manufacture, why was it Canada? It so happened that there was a company in Canada that was a good fit for our production.
Okay.
So when you start out in a small business, the challenge you have is you're not big enough to, in this case, we're going to be talking about oil seed processing, pressing, right? Because we have seeds and we have to press them to get the oil. So we're not big enough to use a canola oil or a soybean oil processing facility because it would just be too large a capacity.
Oh, I see.
They would be talking about how many tons or train loads of seeds we have. So we can't work at that scale.
Yeah.
But we're too big to be just on what we call the bench scale, meaning a kilogram. So we're more in the 1 ton, 2 ton to 10 ton scale. And there's only a handful of processors that are a good fit for us. Oh. One of them happened to be Canada. That's why it's Canada.
Okay.
And
what
then
part
we also
of Canada?
It's in the Saskatoon area.
Okay.
So, and now, but now we're back in the Texas area just because there's a good fit for us there.
Okay. That's the other thing with outsourcing. If you find yourself making a commitment with some partners in this model, that if you find out it doesn't work, you can get out of it a little bit easier than if you're forming a formal business entity together.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 So it gives you a little bit more flexibility as you're learning all the key elements that you need to get this product to the market.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So this oiled seed processing then takes place. Where's your degree of control in the whole thing?
So in manufacturing, if you're familiar with SOP, standard operating practice. So
yeah.
You have the company has developed this standard operating procedure, I meant to say.
Yeah.
So you have this procedure that you've approved and you want to make sure when you're working with a third party that you have access to the full process, which I learned the hard way is sometimes not the case.
Oh.
So what happens is you pay someone and they process the oil correctly. But then when you ask them to let you see the full flow chart of the manufacturing process, they may tell you that's private information and that they're willing to process the oil for you, but they're not going to give you that level of detail. So then you're kind of stuck with them.
I see.
So I've learned a lot of painful lessons. And
yeah.
So if I don't have privy to that information, then I don't want to work with that company again, I have to find another company to work with. But then they have to start, you know, at an earlier stage because I can't just share with them the previous manufacturing process.
Well, and these are the things that also cost time and money.
Yeah.
How has the funding been working out? How have you bridged the gap between all those new learnings? Because every time we learn something, it costs money. And we have to be quick to bridge the gap between our learning and our cash flow.
Right. In general, the getting investment dollars for this kind of business is challenging. Because this isn't like, you know, selling the next cookie that you're going to be up and running in, you know, a few weeks.
Yeah.
Or these third party groups that do, you know, do everything for you. So this is something that you really is complicated, and there's regulatory constraints and there's patent constraints. And so it takes, it's more challenging to get investors. And in terms of investors, the biggest challenge I've had is people want to invest when you're already highly successful.
Yeah.
So you meet them, and a typical response I get is it all sounds wonderful. And when you're at 5 to 10 million in sales, we definitely need to talk.
Yeah.
So that's a typical response I get.
Yeah. And that's really where most venture capital firms are at. And that's why the approach to see private investors, because you've invested a lot of your personal monies and you're doing this full time, and you've gotten different rounds of funding. They start with the family and friends and those connected to them. And then you go to different levels, and you've been doing all these presentations. And so not only are you trying to get customers, but you're also trying to get venture capital funding, which is another type of sale, but a different audience.
Yeah. We're you know, mostly family and friend and limited angel type funding. We haven't approached the venture capitalists yet. What's happened is there's only so many no's a person can take in one lifetime, and so I've decided that I know what the investors want to hear.
Yeah,
they want to hear about my sales, my distribution channels. Very importantly, they want to know what signed deals I have. I emphasize the word signed. In my experience, talking about some potential agreement you have with some company doesn't quite cut it. They want to see an actual copy of the double sign,
right? Yeah,
agreement.
Proof.
So
they've been screwed over too.
Yes. So yeah. I'm in the process of assembling all those parts.
Yeah, because you're finding distributors.
I'm finding distributors, and then those distributors can, you know, put out. They have their own marketing plans. They have more funding than I do. And then related to that, you need a way to spread the word in a professional manner. So the kind of activity you and I are doing today to help spread the word, radio, press releases, so that when you meet with investors, it's not just Alvin Berger saying something that I can say, here, look at this link, and they can read about a professionally written article describing the progress that we make.
Yeah. When I talked with you about being on this podcast, you sent me a list of, there's like, you know, over 25 different places that you've been marketing. And I think I find this myself. It's amazing the volume of marketing that one needs to do, because we're, you know, in a niche marketed universe now. And so we have to do three times as much marketing, because the audience is split out into all these different places. So are you finding similar things?
Yeah, on the marketing side, when you start a business like I have, you quickly realize that it doesn't matter how amazing the product you have is, if you can't figure out a way to get people to know about it.
Yeah.
Now, the micro-influencers and the super-influencers and the celebrities, they have it easier. Because they already have these lists of, you know, sometimes a million followers.
Yeah.
In today's world. I mean, this is a new world we live in. So they if they start a skin line or a nutritional product, they already have the built-in marketing base. But for the rest of us, it's far more challenging.
Yeah.
And so I would say to budding entrepreneurs, give a lot of thought to that. You may have the next amazing cookie, but if you haven't figured out how you're going to market it.
Yeah.
And I see that as well all around, you know, us in brick and mortar. You know, people start these creative businesses and the stores sit there empty. And then they, unfortunately, a lot go under. And then I'm thinking to myself the same thing. I don't think they had a real marketing plan in place.
Yeah. Or they underestimated the receptivity of the market.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like lots of different variables that go into the success or lack of different ventures. Yeah, And so in your case, as a scientist, it's probably been a big challenge for you to be in the sales and marketing arena when you're doing these presentations.
Yeah. I mean,
are you getting more comfortable with it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, most scientists, PhD types, are left brain analytical types.
Yeah.
I like to say either introverts or forced extroverts.
Yeah.
So it takes, it's maybe a little harder for scientists to, you know, to be outspoken. And and also we're, you know, we tend to be maybe more withdrawn than other types of people.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's the first thing that's taught in sales training is how to deal with rejection and not to take it personally. But when you're getting, you know, when the volume is really great, I remember when I worked for the Minnesota Special Olympics and I did telesales, I was the number one person after the first week in the state.
Wow.
And then my goal then was, oh, you know, after you like have some degree of success, then you look up and you're, oh, I wonder if anybody, you know, what's the next goal? What's the next person? You know, if it's state, what's the national record? You know, and so then my goal was to make the national record. And so that took me 5 months. But that kind of kept me in the game. If you're doing something for 5 hours a day, phone calling, and the volume of phone calls that I made was really incredible. And so it's really a great way to kind of sharpen your skills, but you have to keep the numbers. And so like when you're calling or emailing or, I mean, tracking the numbers all the time, and we can do it a lot easier, but people don't realize like, and what are your numbers? Like I knew how many calls it would take to get a sale. And so I would just, to keep my sanity, just do a little list, like, and I would track every time, and then I'd do the average of what it would take, because you got to keep your head in the game. And so, like, even during each day, thinking about, you know, how much time am I spending selling, and what do I need, what kind of state of mind do I need to be in order to do that? And how do you deal with the rejection?
Well, until recently, I did have more people working with me, marketing types that were doing some of that, some of that lifting,
okay,
making the calls, and
so it was a little easier to do so it that, with a group, and, yeah, and to have most
but,
of
but,
it.
But yeah. How do I deal with the rejection? Is what I was kind of alluding to, which is the definition of absurdity is to keep repeating the same thing and expect a different result.
Yeah.
So you could argue if I made enough calls, someone will bite. But I've kind of just taken a little hiatus from seeking investors, because I've taken the approach, right or wrong, to line up some of the things I feel I need to do, which are generating more sales,
yeah,
getting these various agreements signed, like the distribution agreements,
yeah,
spread the word about, yeah, them through press release. So I'm in, that's where I am right now. And then my plan of attack is once those elements are assembled, which is going to take another month or so, then to start the cycle again. But now with a revised deck that speaks to some of these newer accomplishments.
Yeah, and I think that's a really great strategy that once, so you go out, you try these things, you feel like you've gotten kind of beat up in the process, but then you're like, well, wait a minute, let's shake this out a little bit and let's see what I've learned. And then based on what I learned, how can I shift my strategy to make it more successful so that I feel like if I keep doing this the same way or approach these investors, I'm going to be getting the same answer. So you put yourself out there in such a way where you saw like you were getting a consistent message.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, now I understand how this group of investors works.
Yes.
Just like you did with the manufacturing.
Yeah.
I mean, the type of contracts that you're getting into for outsourcing is once you find out how they work, then you can shift and pivot and do something different that feels better.
Yeah.
Because going in that same direction, it was like it's not going to lead you to a sale.
Yeah.
So you're shifting in a way that you can take charge more of getting directly with the customers.
Right.
And also setting up some distributors Which will, because then they'll buy in bulk, and that's a little bit easier to control and to figure out how to put the next process in place.
Right.
Plus, you don't have to make as many calls or as many presentations.
Yeah.
And once you get a distributor, that's kind of adding a layer of your, to stabilize your business.
Right. And the, you know, the distributor model, the advantage being more numbers, right? They can sell thousands. That's great. And then you make less margin. So that's, you know, the compromise.
Yeah.
But, you know, for all, for everyone who thinks, you know, the internet is the future and direct to consumer sales, you know, it has its challenges too.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, not everyone jumps in there and is, you know, selling 1,000 units a day. It's, it's difficult.
Yeah. And you're still needing to set the foundation in of that has to do with people.
Yeah.
And processes. And so in your business, the internet can, there's a unique way of selling on the internet.
Yeah.
And so that you can implement. There's also the setting up the process behind the scene, which, you know, once you have the relationships, then that's when technology really helps out.
Right.
Yeah. So you can solidify a little bit or build in another layer of understanding and working together. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going
to. You're going to say something.
I was just going to say, like, on, you know, on the internet, everybody has the same tools, right?
Yeah.
Facebook, Instagram, how to increase your SEO, and on and on.
Yeah.
And you know, it, there's a lot of hype around that. You know, a blog post that went viral. You know, someone that made all this money with a Facebook ad, and reality is something different. I have not experienced those amazing success stories. And most of the people I work with have not. There are some people that have. It's just like crowdfunding, right? You hear about the three that made
stories.
It big. You don't hear about the 10,000 that, you know, it cost
them. Crashed and burned.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, and I think when you're building an audience, you're building an audience. So, you know, it took 30 years for research to, you know, come up with the elements for this product. So it's going to take a while to develop the following of people that goes with it. And you're trying out all these different methods to find out exactly where your niche is.
Yeah.
You're right. It takes a lot of time and energy.
Right.
And revisiting what you're learning during each step.
Yeah. So I think for, you know, investors... They like you talked about foundation, you know, they want to see foundationally, you have a website, you have a Facebook, you
That's
have Instagram.
That's just the beginning,
And also understanding how consumers make purchases these days. They talk about 3 touch points minimum. It means they want to be able to Google you and see good things about you. They want to see your Facebook posts. They want to see your website posts. They want to see good testimonials. And they need all that.
Yeah.
To consider making a purchase.
Yeah.
And if you're considering, like we are right now, moving into retail in a bigger way.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. You know, they, before, even if you were really aggressive in getting yourself into one of these large, like say beauty superstores in the ski essentials kind of business.
Yeah.
They don't want to take you unless they're really sure it's going to work, that they're going to sell it. So they're looking at the same things. They're saying, what's the website like? What does he have amazing testimonials?
Yeah. Well, and also there's more than one way to put a deal together. So finding with your distributors kind of what exactly do they need and what can you do to minimize the risk for them so that you can at least try the product out or get it on the shelf.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how are you overcoming your biggest challenges right now?
The biggest challenge we have is the lack of investment dollars. So ultimately, the harsh reality is you know from your discussions with entrepreneurs is, you know, you can have a great business plan and you can have this amazing product, but if you're lacking the investment dollars, everything is moving at a very slow pace. So that I would say is our biggest challenge. And how am I overcoming that is what I spoke to a moment ago. I'm just in a kind of a, in some ways, moving slowly because I'm not making large expenditures right now. I'm setting up more, let's call it foundational aspects, getting those distribution agreements together. In terms of marketing, there's many ways you can spend those precious marketing dollars, but choose one. I've decided that in my case, getting some celebrity endorsement is a huge thing. Because it might cost me on my own. Maybe I'm a well-known scientist, like you say, but people don't know me, but they'll know some celebrity. And so it might, just for me to spread the word, might cost, you know, $100,000, or more. But if I pay some celebrity, you know, a few thousand dollars, you know, just looking at the benefit, the cost of that, it maybe makes sense for me to bring on someone who's well known as a celebrity.
Yeah. You know, I think of Dr. Oz. Like, what would it take to get have him try your product?
Well, you have to have a connection to get to someone like that. And that's something to consider. Ironically, because we're short in supply of the actual oils right now, I don't engage in TV, some of these TV commercials that I can do, infomercials. Because the problem is, if it does take off, I can't sell a million bottles right now.
Yeah.
And so the Dr. Oz, I love the idea, but I need to get the volume up higher.
More infrastructure.
Because otherwise, something that's a kiss of death for a business is, you know, getting the sales, and then you can't fill the orders.
Right. Yeah. And so there's all these little, things to be thinking through.
Yes.
Yeah. That it would be great if you did this, but then the result would be...
Yeah, I had one of my distributors called me up all excited the other day saying he wants to do this TV, you know, commercial. And I reminded him the same thing I just said to you. I said, we're not set up for those volumes right now.
Yeah.
We can't do that.
Yeah. And so often entrepreneurs feel like they are between a rock and a hard place. And it's our innovative creativity that is helping us, that helps to move out of that. Yeah, keep doing what you're doing and playing with the different possibilities of ways to go. The distributor route sounds really important to get into place, because also you can then set up more of your your manufacturing to produce a larger volume.
Yeah,
if you've got several distributors. Even starting with the local distributors.
Yeah, the distributors and also to the extent possible, when people place orders, they're reluctant to do this. But if you can get them to put up some monies up front, that helps a lot.
Yeah.
Like maybe get them to put up half to allow you to, you know, to continue with some of the processing and buying of supplies you need.
Great. Okay. Would you like to talk in our next conversation about inflammation and fat?
Sure, always, yeah.
All right, let's do that.
Okay.
So that the listeners can have a better understanding of what's inflamed and what it feels like and looks like in the body, but how you really can see how people can gain control of the inflammation that they're experiencing. And also, you know, what are the right fats to eat, and what should we know about fat that we haven't? Because you've transformed your body.
Yeah, be happy to. I'd love to have that conversation.
Great. All right. Well, let's do it.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you for being here.
Sure.
Thanks for sharing your insights of the journey, the harder journey, but it's meaningful, it's important, and other entrepreneurs really value having that understanding from an entrepreneur, what they're experiencing out on the road. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, mon frère, brother from another mother. We'll see everybody next week. Do you want to build upon your leadership skills and become more effective as a business owner? Do you want to reinvent yourself or evolve as you redesign your business? This is a dual innovation process. Are you ready to take charge of who you next become? If the answer is yes, I've been developing and implementing mentoring programs to thousands of emerging to experienced entrepreneurial leaders and business owners and their teams since 1992. Totally love it and feel I'm on this planet to involve the leadership in the world from the inside out. Of course, this means seeing myself as a work in progress, which is beneficial to you because I'm not stagnant and I'm motivated to create and bring you incredible programming all the time. So here's a few ways that you can get involved in our We Mentor Self-Leadership community. You can subscribe for free through wementor.com to the podcast. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts, which used to be iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Blueberry Directory, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. which is where you can shout out your request on smart home device through Alexa, Cortana, Amazon Echo, and Google Home. You can also become a sponsor of this program and support what's happening here in these all these meaningful conversations. Or you can get one-on-one mentoring and go at your own pace as you evolve into the leader that you've always wanted to become. You can join a We Mentor Mini Lab, which we offer several times during the year. We're focused on some element of self-leadership and your progress toward becoming more effective. And the last and final way in which you can get involved in We Mentor's self-leadership community is by joining a one-year entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab where we dig into the details and help you with the operational along with your leadership skills so you can evolve with your entity and really, really progress in building the life that you've always wanted to build. So please check out wementor.com. You can email me, Nancy, at wementor.com or call me 1-612-804-8920. All right, keep listening and we'll see you next week.